It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
When it's all about jazz, it's all about my guest, Miss Melanie Moore, originally from Dayton, then New York, then the world, and now Las Vegas. And she's performing at the Maxon Jazz Club this Friday, June 21st, 7 to 10. And for more information, go to maxonjazz.com. And for everything about Melanie Moore, including her new album, Melanie Moore, Anything You Need, you can go to melaniemojazz.com, melaniemojazz.com, and as well as YouTube, Pandora, and Spotify, and iTunes as well. So, Miss Melanie, what would you like me to call you? Miss Melanie, Melanie, Miss Moore?
Miss Melanie, yeah.
Melanie's good. Well, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. You started off in Dayton, Ohio.
Yes. Town,
huh?
Yeah, that's where I'm from.
How did you know you were going to pursue a career in music?
In music?
More specifically jazz, yeah.
Well, I didn't start out in jazz. I started out in rhythm and blues, R&B. I was influenced by the Supremes, and when the Supremes first came out, so I'm not dating myself, but that's what, we grabbed the hairbrush and we were the Supremes, and we get dressed up, you know, and be in the mirror, and you couldn't tell us we weren't stars. And I started, I'm seriously going to tell, if I ever meet Diana Ross, I will tell her this. They influenced my life, and I knew I could do this. So from that point, every opportunity that I could find as a young girl, I would sing. And I wasn't any prodigy or anything like that. I had to learn certain things. And in the sixth grade, I was in the chorus at my school was K through eight at that time. They didn't have junior high school, and in Dayton. And I joined the chorus. And fortunately, the chorus at school choir, I learned harmony some, but the choir director went to my parents' church, our family church. And he would tell my parents, Melanie can really sing. And they were like, oh, okay. You know, we are around the house, but no big deal, you know.
Yeah, and, Melanie around the house.
Right. And so from there on, I mean, when I was in high school, I didn't sing quite as much because I went to a regular high school, a public high school, and then I went to a vocational the last 2 years. And when I was attending a vocational high school, we worked 2 weeks and went to school 2 weeks. So, and I mean a bona fide job where we got paid. And so I didn't have a lot of opportunities, but then once I graduated high school and went to the HBCU, which is historically Black college university, Central State University in my area, I pursued singing. And even though it wasn't my major, it was a minor, which was music appreciation and things like that. There were many opportunities on campus to sing. Along with that, because my university was so close to my home, about 45-minute drive, I started looking for opportunities in nightclubs around my hometown. And of course, I was young, and my dad decided he was going to escort me to some of these places. And I would just watch these people sing and how they did patter in a show and messed, they would respond to hecklers. I just thought that was so cool, you know. But I learned a lot, and still vocally had not been trained, you know, professionally. And had many, many opportunities on campus to sing. And I decided my senior year of college, well, June, junior year, going into senior year, that I would interview. There were headhunters on campus for seniors, and I would interview to, you know, I either wanted to go to Miami, California, San Francisco area, New York, or California. And I didn't really want to go to California because that was primarily, to me, movies. And I was hired, oddly enough, from my business courses, I was hired by the buying office of the JCPenney Company in New York City by February of my senior year. So it was on then. As soon as I graduated in June, I already had a job. I had had a job in the buying office. So when I moved to New York, that was a big deal. I didn't know anybody there, but I hated my job for a long time. And I was an assistant buyer of toys because there's no retail store in Manhattan for the JCPenney Company, which is almost defunct now. But the buying office of all product and everything was there on 6th Avenue. So I reached out to some people and about singing, you know, who, mm-hmm. you know, I wanted to be in show business. So, you know, people that I would meet, I got to know and put some feelers out. And I met through a friend who is still my lifelong friend, a producer who was producing the group The Times. And The Times, as we stroll along together, those times, the original mm-hmm. times, mm-hmm. not Morris Day and The Times. And when I met him, he was putting together a female group of three women. Now, the thing was that The Times had many hits, many, many hits in overseas. And they had been also on hiatus for like 10 years. So they all went back to Philadelphia, and raised their families, got jobs, and did this. Well, they went back in the studio with this producer, made Ooh Miss Grace, one of their songs, and it took off in England, all over Europe. So while we were being prepared, the female group was adjusting and preparing our thing. This happened for the Times and with RCA Records, and they had to make a decision. The guys had to make a decision. Did they want to go back out on the road after 10 years or what? So what happened, of the five guys, two of them stayed in Philadelphia, and they added the two women, one being myself, to join the Times. And that was my first opportunity to go overseas, work. And then these guys have been in show business for so long. I learned how to quell a mic. I learned how to lots of choreography and five-part harmony. Just doing it a cappella was for my soul. You know, I learned so much from them, the three original guys. And so we toured. Now, let me segue. We got one tour. We toured all over England, Germany, mainly Europe. And we had a rhythm section of guys, of musicians. Well, at the same time, the rhythm section was shopping their own deal with Atlantic Records. So I had been with The Times for about 4 years, they were deciding that they wanted to kind of come off the road. I mean, they were a lot older than I was. And the rhythm section got a deal with Atlantic Records, and we went into the studio to record. They added myself and my other friend, Isabel, and we formed another group, and we were called Clear, K-L-E-E-E-R. Now, they hadn't gotten the deal yet, but we were in the studio to do the album. Our best friend was Luther Vandross. Our other friend, number one, became Lisa Fisher, But at that time, it was Luther. So on the very first album, Luther's doing background with all of us, leads and back. Well, he didn't do any leads. He just did background. During that time, while it's so interesting that you asked me this, because I'm remembering all this stuff.
That's great.
During that time, I auditioned for an off-Broadway show. And I got it. And they were breaking the show in Boston at the Boston Rep Theater, and they were coming into New York. So I was under a 9-month contract. Well, at the same time, Atlantic picked up the album, set up a tour with Rick James, and Clear was going to be the opening act. They didn't have a middle act at that time. So when I, and then Elvis Presley died. So the one of the albums that the Times had done was shelved because Elvis Presley died and RCA decided to hold their alt project and remaster all of Elvis Presley stuff so they could make money.
Of course.
Well, that happened. That pushed back a couple of tours for us. But in the meantime, after that became defunct, that's when our rhythm section got their own deal. I segued into the Clear, helping name the group. And Rick asked us, well, they went out one time without me because I was doing Boston. But then Rick asked them to go out on the next tour, which my contract was up so I could go.
Mm-hmm.
And we still were the opening act because we were really, really, really good. And this next artist was new, had a new album out named Prince. And then Rick. So the package was Clear, Prince, and Rick. Well, Prince had just made it on the scene. And so we toured together, all of us. And crisscrossing Chaka Khan, crisscrossing dates with different people, you know, and doing Radio City, TV shows, working all over. And that was one of the most exciting parts of the tour. At the same time, Luther, my good friend, was getting ready to go from the group change to his own thing. At the same time, Luther had been making jingles all along, being on commercials and stuff all along. And I remember my girlfriend and I, who sang together, we went to a showcase because they used to do that in New York. If you were coming out, they would do a showcase like in the middle of the day at a theater. And especially when you signed with a new record company. And so he had just signed with Epic. And when I went to that show, it was just him singing his brains out. I looked at my girlfriend. And I said, he is gone. He's gone. He's a star, you know. Just old Goofy Luther, you know. Marcus Miller was his guitar player at the time, bass player. Guitar? Bass, yeah. And, you know, that was who I interacted with, you know, all the time. And so one thing led to another, and Clear kept going. We were on the nominated on the ballot for a Grammy at one year. We didn't, of course, win. And that was okay. But it was truly the highlight. Now, let me tell you this. Mm-hmm. So in the interim of that, Luther called me up one day and said, hey, Mel, do you want to do this recording session for The Wiz, the movie The Wiz? Because there was all this buzz around New York. You know, because they were reconstructing down by the World Trade Center and everything, putting down the Yellow Brick Road and everybody was in The Wiz that we knew. And he called me up and said, do you want to do this recording session? I was like, yes, and no hesitation. So I went to the recording session, and I'm going to tell you, Ira, this was the highlight of my, has been one of the highlights of my career. So I walk into this session, and I knew most of the session singers at that time. So it was Patty Austin, Nick Ashford, and Valerie Simpson. These are people I knew. Yolanda McCullough, who worked for them. Just so many of us, Vivian Cherry, all of us that worked. I don't think Sissy Houston was in it, but she usually was around at that time. And our section was led by, I'm trying to think who did the altos, because I was in the alto part. Patty Austin did the soprano, so she handled all of them. And then there was the altos and then the men. And Luther ran the one with the men. And in the movie, the one, this is the one with Diana Ross, mm-hmm. when you see them going into, actually it was down at the World Trade Center, but when you see the models and everybody walking, they say it's better to be green than to be seen. It's better to be yellow, you know, because you're a good fellow. And you see all them strutting, all these, that was our voices. That you heard, all that. Those models were mouthing it, but they weren't singing. We were, all 40 of us. And our session was conducted by Quincy Jones. Mm-hmm. And Sidney Lumet, the late Sidney Lumet, he also conducted, you know, not the music part, but when to sing and everything. Because you could see on the monitor above where we were recording what was going on and when to sing and everything. So then that took all day. Then I went on the road by myself with a couple other ladies, and we went all over Europe in a show that was a Saturday Night Live. No, Saturday Night Fever show. And they put a segment in that show of the emotions that were produced by, what's his name? White, Maurice White, mm-hmm. and Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Did you second that emotions?
No. But I remember being on an airplane strike in Europe, and we were to ultimately perform in Cannes. Now, this is that troupe of Saturday Night Fever. Because they had dancers and singers, but they made a segment in there for the emotions. What, they weren't even in the movie, you know, original movie or nothing, but they put us in there, and these three ladies. They had a Donna Summer character, they had dancers, just for, you know, a big spectacular show. And we were we got to Europe, and we got to south of France, but there was an airline strike. And so they flew us originally to Luxembourg. I had never even heard of Luxembourg. And I thought it was in Germany, but it's its own country.
Yep.
You know? So we were in Luxembourg overnight. And then we had to take a train, a passenger sleeper train, down to Cannes. And we were in Cannes for about 2 weeks performing. And when I left there, I was ready to, I mean, we came back to Italy and stuff. And I was ready to come home. To New York. So.
But here's the important question, Melanie. How did you get to Las Vegas?
All right. So I went back to New York, and I lived there, and I was working around. I left JCPenney a long time ago.
I figured that.
And, yeah. Okay. I was so glad to go.
Kind of hard to do buying on the road.
I know. Right. Right. And so. I went back to New York, and I was working temp at several different corporations, you know, and my cousin, this is the beginning of the AIDS epidemic, my cousin, close cousin that was like my brother, moved there, and he was in design and everything, and he had a partner, and he contracted AIDS. Well, when he contracted AIDS, it was the very, very beginning of the epidemic. And he died like within a month because they didn't know how to treat it. They didn't know. And he went down very fast. And I reassessed where I was and what I was doing. Our families were very close. His mother and my father were sister and brother. And I decided to move back to Dayton because I knew that life was short. You know, this is somebody, he and his brother, that we would be together forever, but it wasn't the case. So I moved back to Dayton in about 83. This is Sophie.
And, hi, Sophie. And for those who are listening, that was Sophie the dog.
Oh, yeah. And I started singing there in jazz, women in jazz concerts in Ohio, all around Ohio. I worked in Cincinnati a lot. I worked in Chicago. I worked in Indianapolis. I never did work in Detroit, but I did work that area.
That's the other D town.
Yeah, that's the other D town. Well, yeah. A lot of the folks from Detroit ended up in Dayton anyway, or mm-hmm. even vice versa. And while I was there, I started teaching. And because I did have a degree in education, you know, and so I started teaching and got married and had my daughter and everything. And then, but I was still singing on the weekends as much as possible. And then after being there 14 years, I woke up one morning. This is how my life is. I woke up one morning. I was like, I got to get the hell out of here. You know, there's only so much you can do in the Midwest. And so my mother and my father used to have a big group of their friends that came to Dayton. I'm sorry, came to Vegas every year, a big party of them. And they didn't gamble. They just came to see the shows and all that. You know, participate and stuff. And mom kept coming back. You know, they're looking for teachers in Las Vegas. I was like, I don't want to need to move to Las Vegas. You know, they're looking for teachers. And so finally, I had the opportunity to apply, and I did. And I got the job in, like, I was going to move here anyway, but not to teach, but that's what I applied for. But anyway, I got the job and I started teaching at Jim Bridger Middle School. Then I went open Del Sol School after I got my master's in counseling. And I switched from teaching to counseling because that was better for me. I wasn't no dyed-in-the-wool counselor, I mean teacher. But I started singing private events and by organizations, corporate. So then I decided to solicit. At that time, there were more venues to sing jazz. I flipped over from R&B to singing smooth jazz. And there were more opportunities in smooth jazz at that time. And that's how I ended up here. So what can I say? I mean, I worked around here kind of in the visible and then non-visible, but I just did. I started writing my album. Mm-hmm. I did an extended play or EP first of cover song.
And again, it's called Anything You Need, Melanie Moore. Right. Anything You Need.
Right, but my EP was just called the Melanie Moore Project.
Okay.
And so that was out first, and then I did a whole 10 songs, collaborated with my other two producers. Wrote music, and I recorded all by myself while I was working every day my current album, which I'm very proud of. I'm being played in Panama, South America, and all throughout Europe currently.
It's got to be fun to hear from places that you've not necessarily toured, but that all of a sudden people are writing you and saying, hey, I'm listening to your album here in Panama.
They are.
Yeah, that's great.
They have done that.
Before I let you go, who are some of the, besides Luther, for example, which we talked about, and Diana Ross, who you looked up to, and I want to mention Mary Wilson, because Mary's been on the show, was on the show several times, a wonderful lady.
I've met her many times. Yeah.
Yeah. Who are some of your other mentors?
Nancy Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Wilson, probably Carmen McRae. Pretty much that. I didn't study Ella a lot because she was always around, and I didn't study Sarah Vaughan a lot, but I'm told that sometimes my inflections are like hers, but I have my own style, and that was what I was very diligent to learn. You know, as I studied music, I studied voice, and I still study voice to this day, and just to keep improving, making sure that my tone, my vocals are from the whole physicality of my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watch what I eat. I don't drink alcohol, drink lots of water, and I work out.
I've heard that from many guests over the years, performers who take care of themselves and as a result have a very long career because their voice doesn't go, the body doesn't go. I mean, eventually we all go, but in other words, you take care of yourself while you're here and you're able to extend the performing life as well as your own life.
Yes, yes.
Which makes sense.
I was around people that did drugs, but not hard drugs,
mm-hmm.
and drank. I mean, I still am around that, but.
Well, it's hard to avoid when you're in that world. So.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it, but that doesn't mean you engage.
Correct.
And I don't engage.
So since you moved to Las Vegas, was it different moving here and realizing that there's an actual civilization here as opposed to what some people think?
I moved to New York. I didn't know anybody. And then I know tons of people in New York now. And I moved here and I knew a few people. But I've been the type of person that's resourceful. And I never am swayed by being overwhelmed by, I'm by myself. No, get out of here. You know, I'll find out. You just ask and talk to people and find out what the scene is. And this scene changes every 6 months in this town. Every 6 months. And you know that, Ira.
That's true.
This scene changes every 6 months. So the venues that were here when I came in 2000 are not here any longer. And the people that were here back in 2000 and before 9/11, they're not here anymore because they moved away, and things just have changed all the time. So I ebb and flow with the flow of how Vegas is, you know. Now we're doing Formula One and trying to get a basketball team. You know what I mean? So it's
well, that's a great way to leave. That's a great way to leave it.
We didn't have a stadium. I mean, you know, didn't have that. So now I'm just, you know how we do.
I go
past people all the time and they say, oh, it's so hot. I said, it's only hot for like, till the end of August. And
exactly.
September, stop whining. Better than a blizzard or a hurricane. So, you know, it's like, be happy.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Miss Melanie Moore. She's performing at Maxon Jazz Club this Friday, June 21st from 7 to 10. And for more information, go to maxonjazz.com for everything about Melanie Moore, including her new album, Melanie Moore. Anything you need, go to MelanieMoJazz.com, MelanieMoJazz.com. And you can also go and follow her on YouTube. And she's available on Pandora, Spotify, and iTunes, and all the other usual places out there for great performers. Melanie, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Ira, for having me. I so appreciate it.
You got it. See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Hey, Las Vegas.